Okay, let's open our Bibles to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 12. We will read from verse 1 to verse 7, the first part of verse 7. 2 Samuel, chapter 12, the reading will provide the context. Let me read. The Lord sent Nathan to David, and when he came to him, he said, "There are two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over, because he did such a thing and had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Amen. David was the king of Israel. He was a great man, the greatest king of Israel. He wrote a large portion of the Bible, known as the Psalms, not all of them, but a great majority of them. David was a man who God said, "Yeah, he wants my heart. He is a man after my own heart. I love this man. This man will never have someone not sitting on the throne." And some of the things that I pray almost daily are prayers that David wrote. "The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." So many things. But David also committed adultery. He covered up his adultery with conspiracy. Eventually, the conspiracy led to murder. And it wasn't just a random man that he murdered, and it wasn't just a random woman that he committed adultery with. It was the wife of one of his best friends. The man he murdered was Uriah, one of his mighty men, who stood with him and fought with him even when he was running for his life. This man, Uriah, was loyal to David even to death. Uriah was out at war. His wife was bathing at her home on the rooftop. I guess that's what people do back then. David saw her. He wanted her. He took her. She became pregnant. And he called back Uriah to basically have him sleep with her and cover up his crime. Uriah was a man of honor and said, "No, I will not do that. My men, my comrades, my fellows are fighting. How can I sleep at home with my wife when my other brothers are dying?" So he refused. So David had him assigned to the front line of the battle, and not only had him killed, but had a number of other soldiers killed with him just to cover up his crime. So, that's not the point of the sermon today. The point of the sermon today is for the man who came and led David to repentance and salvation. Because we're studying the voice of the prophets, and God has given us the task and the role of being prophets. We who are filled with the Spirit of God because we have the Son of God are to speak the Word of God, the truth of God, to each other and to the world. The problem is we're terrible at that. We don't know how to confront people with the truth. Some of us are cowards. We'd rather not say anything. We'd rather just say, okay, I'll give you your space, and we won't talk for a while. Others of us are just fools, and we think we can just say anything we want. So we're not cowards, we're condemners. And we'll say, we just tell the truth as it is, and then they feel like, well, they've been condemned, I spoke the truth. I'm righteous. No, you're self-righteous. What we see in this parable that Nathan the prophet told to David the king is how we are to speak the truth in love. Because here's the number one point. God wants us not to condemn, but to bring conviction and repentance. God wants us to speak the truth, but to speak it in love. And this is an amazing way of how to do it. So, because David was a liar, he was a murderer. He was a conspirator. So what does Nathan do? He barges into the throne room. King David, get down from your throne, murderer. Adulterer. No, he doesn't do that. But he's a prophet. He should have courage. What's this about sheep and lambs? And why does he beat around the bush? Why can't he just say it? Doesn't he have courage? Yeah, he has courage. What's the last line? You are the man. That takes courage. But more than courage, he had wisdom. So the title of our message is Shrewd Confrontation. Shrewd, okay? Shrewd is the Bible's word that is often translated as wise, skillful. And Jesus told us, his disciples, you should be shrewd. How shrewd? As shrewd as a serpent. At the same time, innocent as doves. You need wisdom. You need shrewdness to be able to speak the truth in love. That's what Nathan did. This is amazing. Because here's what happens. If Nathan goes in, opens the door, liar, murderer, adult. David had, like, see this little shield right here? We all have this. Every single one of us. Somebody tries to come at us direct, straight, we put up our shields. And David could have said that. Hey, I'm the king. You have no idea all of the sacrifice I've made, all of the work I've done. I deserve just a little bit. You don't know how I've risked my life. I fought Dave, the Goliath, that giant. I'm leading the country. I'm helping to, you know, get this economy going. What's this one life? It's collateral damage. It happens. We all put up our shields and our barriers. So you come at me straight. The first thing I'm going to do is put up my arms to stop you, right? David could have done that. So Nathan is wise. Let me tell you a story, king. I have this case that needs your judgment, because that's what David did. He's the king. The king judges. There was no separation of powers. You know, the legislative, the judicial, nothing. It was the one. The king gave the judgments on certain cases. So Nathan brings the case, and David actually makes one right case, one right judgment. He says, verse 6, he must pay for that lamb four times over. That's correct. According to the law, when you steal, you pay four times the price, and then you return what else on top of that for what you've stolen. That's correct. The other part, he must die. That's over the top. And that's how Nathan knew he got David. Yeah. See, David's guilt was right there. David's guilt was working on David. And when we have guilt, what do? We overcompensate for the guilt. When we know we're doing wrong, we're going to try to cover up our unrighteousness by being over-righteous, by being too good. We're going to put forth every extra effort. That's what David is doing. He needs to die for stealing a lamb? David, that's your guilt speaking. That's your conscience telling you. Die for stealing a lamb? Four times payment, that's enough. So Nathan knew, yeah, he knows he's guilty. And that's when Nathan gave him the truth. You are the man. Okay, so now we close. This is all we need to do. Two things. You need to be a Nathan. The second thing, you need a Nathan in your life. Do you have a Nathan? So first thing, you as a Nathan. This is how you do it. You have friends. You have family members. No one wants to tell them about their problems, their character flaws, their wrong opinions. They're afraid. They're cowards. And so you need to be the voice of a prophet. But you need to be able to speak in such a way that their guards come down. Listen, if you talk straight and they feel condemned, you're justified. You're righteous. That's not glorifying. God is glorified when you speak the truth, yes. But God is more glorified when the truth leads to repentance. God wanted David to come back. God wanted David to repent. So if there was a small chance for David to repent and come back to him, then he sent Nathan into his life. Maybe God will send you into someone's life because through your wise, shrewd words, they will come back to God. Do you see that? So you need to understand how to disarm that person you love. And how do you do it? Prayer, thought, advice, counseling. You'll figure it out because the Spirit of God is in you. Learn how to speak gently, carefully, but with the truth in the end. That brings repentance. Be a Nathan. Second thing, and we're done. Do you have a Nathan? Do you have a Nathan? Do you have someone in your life that has permission to point out what you cannot see? You see, it's difficult here. You can give me the second one. And the next one after that, I skipped over it. Here's what it says. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Yeah, so encourage one another daily. Yeah, it's hard enough even in Mitaki to meet each other daily, to text each other, to message each other daily, right? And it's even harder when people come and go. So it's very hard if all you do, if your only experience of church is YouTube. Yes, you may listen to podcasts, you may download videos of sermons and Bible text and things like that. That's not church. Daily means face to face, at least once a week, in a way that we can share each other's burdens, pray for one another, and speak the truth with one another in love. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Do you have someone who has a hunting license? A license to hunt down your sin, pride, ego. A spouse helps, but sometimes you need a different person than your spouse. Someone you respect, someone you know will speak in love. They're not trying to condemn you. They're not here to tear you down, but they're here to get through the barrier. You need a Nathan. Don't have one? Pray for one. Lord, send me a friend. Here's one story. My first year at Mitaki, November 1999, when I came through those doors, there were fewer people than there are here, and there are few here. Very few people. Jim was probably there, and we were the only ones. But that, yeah. And Jim had two kids. The other couple had one son. There was Pastor Kevin and Pastor Kevin Midori. They had two sons. And basically, everybody was in their late 20s or 30s or 40s. They had families. No single people in their 20s. I was 22 or 23. And I was like, Lord, I need a friend, a Christian friend. I need a brother. I need someone I could pray with and walk with and talk with. And I have friends back home, and we send email together. This is in 1999. But, you know, we're not FaceTiming. We're not chatting. There's nothing. I need someone here, Lord. I prayed that prayer 1 year. And in November 2000, I think, or 2001 maybe, I don't know. It's a long time ago. Finally, a man named Tony comes walking through the door. Tony Chang. And then after him came a guy named James. They were in their 20s, single, young Christian men. And they helped change my life. They helped keep me here in Japan. And we were Christian brothers. They were the Nathans in my life. And I'm grateful for them. So if you don't have a Nathan, someone who can speak to you in love, the truth, pray. Ask the Lord. He's happy to give and provide and to send. Because he loves us. So that's our message for this week. Shall we pray? And we'll close. So Father, here's my heart. Speak what is true. I know that I'm capable of lying and adultery and murder just like David. And I need your love to keep me from sin's deceitfulness. Lord Jesus, thank you for the blood that you shed that purchases my salvation. That in you, all my sins are forgiven and I'm pure and cleansed before you. I pray, Lord, that you help me to be a Nathan in somebody's life. And I pray that you will send a Nathan into mine and into the lives of my brothers and sisters here. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.